David, whether you have a few weeks old puppy or a senior who's seen multiple decades, any dog person like me knows the most valuable thing in the world is spending time with your pet.
Yep.
The farmer's dog makes it easy to keep them healthy, which can give you more quality years with your lovely dog.
Yeah, well, I've heard Farmer's Dog makes and delivers fresh, healthy dog food. And, you know, that's what everyone's looking for. It's recommended by vets, nutritionally balanced. It's made from human-grade ingredients, safe, clean kitchens. All that stuff matters.
Yeah. I mean, you love your dog. Why get the lousy food for your dog? Farmer's Dog is the best. Traditional dry and wet dog food options are extremely processed.
Sometimes
they use
dogs...
much lower quality. Yeah.
you put it in their bowl and they go, what is this kibble? And they knock it away. What is this canned goo?
Oh, yeah. I've had our dog, yeah, look at the bowl and then kind of crank its neck up and look at me. And it was like, really?
They go, really? Why don't you go first? You want a bite of this? Slop?
And it makes that sound.
Here you go, dog.
So Farmer's Dog isn't just higher quality food. They also send the food pre-portioned specifically for your dog based on their unique nutritional needs. It makes it easy to help your dog reach and stay at their ideal weight, David, and which is one of the biggest indicators of a full, healthy life. A fresh diet has been found to have all sorts of benefits, David, from healthier coat and skin, better breath, if you want to kiss your dog, and even easier digestion and smaller and better poops.
Let's look at a clip. It doesn't matter if your dog's young or old, it's always the right time to invest in their health for more happy years with your dog. Get 50% off your first box at farmersdog.com/fly.
Let the Farmer's Dog know we sent you. Use your code or click podcast after you sign up for your first box. Hey, Garrett Morris.
Garrett Morris. It's really fun to talk to an OG gangster from the beginning of SNL. I mean, that's really where it all started. That's what we're all trying to copy. And
from our point of view, as soon as he popped up, he came to play. Oh, he had great fun energy from the first second. Something about him.
He was into it. It's like bottled up. Like he hasn't talked. Yeah. I mean, he probably hasn't done an interview for a while. And also two guys that are super interested in it, and we have common ground. So he was a chatterbox. It was great.
He really was there and knows all about those first 5 years, which are seminal in SNL, of course. And he gets into grievances and people he maybe didn't like and drug use and anger and all. So it's very, very interesting.
I love it when people don't really hold back like that. He doesn't give a shit.
He fires up a joint halfway through. Well, I'm not sure if it's halfway through, but make sure you're listening when it happens. You're going to love this.
You'll hear
one.
This. That's trying to get it going. A lot of fun, a lot of old stories, the stuff you would expect. And it's just great to hear from him.
Yeah.
Because you don't hear from him a lot.
Just funny.
Grew up
just
watching
funny.
Him.
So. I enjoyed this one. Yeah, funny. I enjoy all of them.
Garrett Morris.
My name is Garrett Morris. Hello.
Garrett, my last name is Spade.
But you've already screwed it up by having an ex-convict on your show, okay?
Whoa, let's get down to it.
Yeah.
Did you serve time? That's all. It's my only question.
I'm not lying. I actually spent a year and a half at what is known as Great Meadows Correctional Facilities. I was a teacher.
Oh, I was at the Tim Meadows Correctional Facility. Now, Garrett, you were a
Meadows.
Teacher in there?
Where, you too.
go ahead, Garrett. Let's hear about that.
Anyway, I was, in like 1968, 69, I was a school teacher. I taught at Pier 71 over on the east side. And I also taught, they had a program for teaching convicts. And I was a part of it. They gave us a Volkswagen, right?
Mm-hmm.
You guys say, it's really Volkswagen,
yeah.
Okay?
Everyone's saying it wrong. Yeah.
Okay. Anyway, and I didn't know I was driving along the drug thing, and I used to get called all the time by the cops. Okay.
Wait, you were running drugs in the Volkswagen and then you got pulled over?
And you were also teaching kids and running drugs?
I was teaching those murderers drama.
Oh.
Okay.
Yes.
You have quite a resume. I looked it up.
Oh my God.
It's vast. It's,
you know, like, Garrett, I have to tell Garrett something just so we have some common ground here. Garrett, I was in Arizona, you know, running the harsh streets of Scottsdale. And when I was about, you know, 18, 19, I was trying to flirt with this girl leaving a SAE party at Arizona State. And I got pulled over immediately and they cuffed me and said, you have to go to jail. I don't think Dana, I didn't tell you this. I go to jail and I say, hey, any reason for the jail? You know, I didn't even ask. I just felt I'm pretty guilty about a lot of things. And they said, yeah, you've gotten too many tickets, speeding tickets, and we have a warrant for your arrest. And I realized they didn't. So a couple hours in, I go, can I see those? And they showed me copies, and it was my brother's signature saying he was me because he got pulled over so much, he would have had to go into jail. So he goes, no, I don't have my license. I'm David. And so then he signed them all, and then he still didn't pay him. And then I spent the night in the clink, and I had to have another comedian come bail me out.
Oh, wow.
And that's Chevy Chase bailed you out?
I still speak with my brother, unfortunately, but he know I'm such a pussy. I would never really give him any trouble about it, and I didn't.
Is he out of jail?
No, I was the one out. He never went. I had to do the time for him.
I had three older brothers that would stuff stolen items down my pants because I was 9 and they were 11, 12, 13, and they were all juvenile delinquents. We fought, we smoked, we stole, but they would stuff them down my pants because I looked so little and so innocent, and I'd walk out. But yeah, I stole a lot of stuff when I was 9. I'm just putting it out there right now. I stole 10 yo-yos in one day.
I had 3 weekends in the tank myself. Okay.
Uh-huh. See, we're all not soft. We're all from the fucking streets. Let's get that out of the way. Yeah. Right. Got it.
You know, so I'm not innocent at all. But one time, it was because a traffic cop broke the law and used a Slim Jim right to go under my car. Yeah. And he looked under the mat in the front seat and found a bag of marijuana, which is illegal, cop. Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, I go to the impound to get my car, and I see about 4 or 5 cops standing around my car. I'm not stupid. So I wait, right? And they wait. And we for about 30 minutes to fly. I said, okay, let's go get my car. So I go to the car and I don't go in, and they come and they say, open this back door. I say, no, I'm not opening it.
Oh my God.
They open it, right? And then I was doing my karate thing, right? So I had a gi in the back.
Yeah.
And they said, open that bag. I said, no, sir. They open it and they had put the grass in the bag.
Oh my God. Right?
The old frame.
And yeah, they handcuffed me. But anyway, I go downtown and I'm being booked. And sure enough, there was a cop there who was him. He says to me, see John Iannuzzi. Now, way back there, John Iannuzzi was a very progressive Italian lawyer who was hooked up, right? He was helping you out. Sure enough, I went over there. John Iannuzzi figured out what it was about. He said, this see me Monday. I come in Monday. John whispers something in the judge's ear. And the judge says, Garrett Morris. I raised my hand. He said, get out of here. I don't want to see you in here again.
All right. He whispered you were framed, right? That's crazy.
Well, the lawyer probably told him how the cop got the grass.
Yeah. No body cams back then.
How you been doing, man? How you been doing?
I'm doing good. Me and Dana have been having fun. Look at my hair; looks good today. You know what?
I know what
I filmed
happened.
Something this weekend.
Usually, you know, it's a little shaky.
Are you and Dana an item?
Oh, an item.
An item. I just
are you
like
breaking
the
a story?
Listen, Garrett. What happens on Fly on the Wall stays on Fly on the Wall. Am I canceled now? That can't do that anymore.
I'm leading the cancel. Yeah, Dana and I are old buddies, and we sort of emerged in the same person over time.
I must say, you do look like you came from the same mama. You do.
Yeah.
Same tribe. Irish, Scottish, Norwegian.
Yeah.
What's your tribe? German.
Really?
I'm Irish, German, Scottish, Dutch, Norwegian.
Yeah.
Well, I'm Pan-Cambodian, Nigerian, West Africa, and by the way, Ancestry.com says I have a little bit of Finnish in me. Can you believe that?
That's interesting.
It's down deep. Yeah. I can't
my
see.
Skin way, cries when it's sunny.
By the way, tomorrow's my birthday.
Tomorrow's your birthday. I read that your birthday's coming up. Is it the first? Is that
tomorrow,
what it is?
Tomorrow, till February 1st, yes.
Okay, we'll delete this because this is going to be airing in 2027. No, we don't know when.
No, we're gonna. All right, what's your secret? I have to ask. What are you drinking?
This here is green tea. Okay,
that's it. Yeah. That's the
secret. Active glucose tea. It helps to reduce your glucose count. So
blood sugar stuff.
I have I'm type 2 diabetes.
Your energy doesn't match your birth certificate. It's huge. I mean, you're just like on fire. You're just energetic.
I can't tell you on here, man. This is recorded by cops, okay?
Yeah. Okay? They're always monitoring this. I will say, Garrett, you are you have sort of a very bright light and energy about you and a fun thing about you, and I see why in comedy you do well, because you always bring it. You're very vocal. You got a strong voice. You just have a fun vibe, and I think
positive.
That's so. Yeah, positive.
People want to work with you.
So when it comes to comedy, this is what I say: I'm an actor who was in a comedy show many, many years ago, and I have been suffering ever since.
Now, why have you been suffering?
So are we?
Because everywhere I go, people want me to be funny, and as my ex-wife tells you, well, she used to tell me all the time, "N-word, you ain't funny."
Okay. Yeah,
fill in the blanks.
Well,
I got it.
Yeah. Well, I think you're funny, and you know, a lot of people have a funny vibe about them. Like people say, when I date girls, I go, "What do you look for?" And I go, "I like a girl that's funny, but I don't mean she needs to be Robin Williams. Some girls just have like a charm and fun thing about them, and that's funny to me. And it's a lightness and fun. They don't have to be like, you know, Henny Youngman, yada da." So.
Take
I like that.
Wife,
I go, I'll take care of that part.
Take my wife.
Exactly.
Yes.
But by the way, Dana, Garrett has worked with Pryor and all these huge, huge stars, which I look over and I can't believe how cool that is.
I got to work with Richard Pryor, but I want to hear your story first.
Oh, don't one up him yet.
I have a nice Richard story.
I have a great Richard Pryor story, okay?
I want to hear yours.
It's got to be better.
When Richard and I were coke fiends.
That's the title of the
podcast.
I bet
Dana's story doesn't start like that.
Show, go ahead. Right? But yeah. Richard brought his own group because he had heard that I was Lauren. Nobody had heard about me except people on the East Coast.
So Richard and brought his own writers.
Nobody knew. I got this job, which just fainted in 75, was a pretty good job for a black guy to get. They're thinking I'm Lauren. Help me.
Lorne Michaels,
N-word. Can I say
Lorne Michaels? Like you were his main man.
You can say anything you want as far as I'm concerned.
Thought that was going on, that Richard had gotten, that Lorne had gotten some guys who knew. Well, at the time I got to Saturday Night Live, I'd already been in New York for like 17 years. I had written two plays,
yeah, I read that.
I've been in the last 15 off-Broadway and Broadway shows. And so I paid my dues, right? And they didn't know that. So when Richard came, he brought his own group and he didn't use me. And I was really hurt by that because until this day, Richard is my favorite monologuist of all time, right?
Yeah.
And at that time, I was really very hurt because I wanted to work with him. So he did the show, didn't use me, but later on when I went to California, he was doing a movie called Critical Condition. And I got a call from my agent saying, Richard Pryor wants you to be in the show, be in the movie. And he didn't say anything. I assume that was his way of saying, hey, you know, I'm sorry, or something like that.
I like you. Yeah.
That was
very sweet, sensitive.
Well, you know, a lot of hosts do that. I mean, a lot of hosts still bring in writers just because they get scared. Like maybe Paul Mooney was with Richard. I don't know who he was with.
He was a force of nature. Paul Mooney, I used to do stand up with him in the late 70s, and I would go, why is this guy in this little club? I mean, he was so charismatic and so good looking and so funny. It was like just everything.
I love Paul Mooney. I'm sure he was behind Richard doing what he did, because he was Richard's writer. But to this day, I see because much of what Richard did was Paul Mooney, right?
Mm-hmm. And well, the thing, okay,
go ahead.
What do you think? You know, when you the idea of a monologist, you know, I think of that more voice orientated, but I think that with Richard, from what when I first saw him on the Ed Sullivan Show, he mimed for 2 minutes a guy reaching under his underarm to see if he had BO. And it was like just a silent movie, you know. So Richard had that capacity to paint a picture instantly, and he could do just a straight monologue. So I don't know.
He could tell stories, like
and play all the characters.
He could talk when he talked about Mudbone. You wouldn't be laughing for like 2 or 3 minutes till he got to the punchline.
Yeah,
but you were so engaged in Mudbone till this till this day again. How did you say the word? I said monologist. You say it again.
A monologist.
Anyway, I sometimes I had trouble with English.
I knew
want to tell my Richard Pryor little story.
Go ahead,
here.
Tell me.
Kind of. So I'm working at the Holiday Inn as a waiter.
Yeah.
And it was near the Circle Star Theater up near San Francisco. Richard's headlining there. So Richard's in the restaurant. So I got to go serve Richard. And I was really nervous. So I brought him a Denver omelet. Okay. Uh-huh. And then later on, I came back and I took the plate and he looked up at me and said, quote, "Whoever made that omelet can suck my dick." And I never knew if it was a positive or negative review. 12 years later, I'm in a movie with Richard Pryor, which I'll tell you about. We're at lunch and I just wanted to know what he meant that day, but I didn't want to bring it up. He probably wouldn't remember. So I look at him, I take a bite of my cheeseburger and I said, This cheeseburger is really, really, really good. And he goes, "Wow, well, you must want to suck somebody's dick." No, I can't. I got the headline.
He got it wrong.
He used that suck dick metaphor a lot. Guess what?
So it wasn't just me. Yeah.
One of the funniest jokes I ever heard was when he said, "This bitch was so fine, I want to suck her daddy's dick."
I like that one, yeah. This April, reality TV hits a new high on Hulu from executive producer Jimmy Kimmel. The all-new Hulu original series High Hopes premieres on, of course, 4/20, just in time for your viewing pleasure.
The Hulu original reality series follows two budding entrepreneur brothers and their hilarious half-baked employees at one of the fastest-growing cannabis dispensaries in Hollywood.
This workplace comedy showcases the highs and even more highs of the competitive marijuana industry.
More than just co-workers, the owners and bud tenders in High Hopes are one dope family.
You'll fall in love with these quirky characters as they pursue career aspirations, love, and fame, all under a slightly hazy cloud.
Mark your calendar for 4/20 to get into the new reality series High Hopes, streaming only on Hulu. I just want to say I just had a root canal and a crown put in, and I'm kind of spaced out. So the end of the joke went like this, you know.
Okay, we'll do it again.
Wait a minute. I'm so stoned from the dentist.
The punchline.
You do it, Garrett.
I really can't remember.
I think you said this cheeseburger can suck my dick. Did you say that?
It was a reverse that I got the. The information by setting a trap, you know.
I
will get to it before this podcast's over, but I am so high right now. I mean, I'm just like, I'm very spacey.
What kind of marijuana?
Marijuana? No, it was dental stuff.
Oh, okay.
But if I do smoke marijuana, my brand is Sledgehammer. That's my brand of cannabis.
Oh, yeah. God.
Your brand of cannabis is what?
Sledgehammer.
Sledgehammer.
From the Peter Gabriel collection?
I just made it up.
Yeah, I like that name. It sounds cool.
Shovel to the face.
Show, I will be smoking a joint, okay?
Hey, Garrett, I have a question for you. You can smoke a joint right now while I ask you if you want. Yeah. Now, Garrett, when you...
Okay, bring me a joint.
Oh, boy. So when you come on SNL, it must be like the Dirty Dozen. So you guys all get together... You probably don't know each other, right?
Right.
And then you are thrown together and you're sort of like, okay, let's see what works, what doesn't work. And you're a writer. You're a writer at the beginning, right?
Yes, I was. Yes.
Okay. So I don't think you're on camera till later. I think that was a decision that was made later, correct?
I actually was on camera the first show.
Oh,
only
shit.
Because of this. Let me try. Can I?
Yeah.
You're in the middle of a story. I don't want to cut you off.
No way. It's about you.
Here's what happened. I was a playwright, right? So I brought Lorne my play. He read it and liked it because there's a couple of funny things in it. He hired me. I didn't know that just because you write a play that's about 2 hours doesn't mean you can write 30 minutes, 30 seconds.
Yeah, a little tiny sketch. Yeah, for sure.
It took me about 4 or 5 months to realize I couldn't do it. And I was feeling really pissed off myself. Then finally, I realized I had an idea. Because in my play, the Black Panther group that I have is called the Young Lions, makes a joke about how when they're collecting money at fundraising, they only raise a lot of money when they have white, guilty white liberals in the audience.
Right. I love them. Yeah.
Right. So I have to tell that idea. I'm going to call his name to Schiller. Ooh, do you remember
Tom Schiller.
Oh, Tommy Schiller. Yeah.
Right.
Schillervision.
Goes over to the studio and tells it to another guy whose name I will not call. That guy then writes it down as his idea.
Oh,
whoa, wait a minute.
When I come over, it's written down and he's not even giving me credit for even contributing, right? So anyway, what happened? I'll tell you the whole story. Anyway,
yeah, keep going.
Yeah, anyway, what happened was it became a thing called a White Guilt Relief Fund.
Yes, I remember the sketch.
Right.
Yeah.
And I don't know when I started off to help me because I'm 85. I may be all
No,
side.
I'm tracking
you would
the
ask
story.
White people for donations out of guilt and make them an honorary Negro. You'd send them a plaque. Or
right. Anyway, that was the only thing that I did that I thought was worthwhile. And this guy who at that time was the second in command to Ann Beats, right? Mm. Now, here's what happened was
Michael,
I was so mad. I was so angry about that.
Yeah.
It took me a couple of weeks to stew over that. And I was going to make a serious mistake. I was going to come in this particular day and let him know what's for, and even if it meant physically confronting him, I was going to do that, although I knew he was a wrestling champ. Now, you
probably know. Oh, I think I know who it is.
Wrestling champ from Harvard. I knew.
I think I know who it is.
I didn't care. I said, if I get a couple of licks in, after he whips my ass, he's still going to remember me, right?
Yeah.
So I get off to the elevator, and somebody there says, Garrett, Lorne wants to see you in the green room. I go to the green room, and sure enough, John and Gilda and Jane had told Lorne Michaels, look, you've got Garrett bringing in black actors. He's one himself. And here's a movie he's done. They were looking at Cooley High.
Yes. Oh, Cooley High.
Right. So Lorne looked at Cooley High. He auditioned me with Gilda. And I was totally counterpunchy because Gilda is like, Gilda was, to this day,
unreal.
How she improvised. You didn't even know she's doing it.
Yeah,
right.
Brilliant.
And I counterpunched throughout that. It was, our setup was, I was a taxi driver driving from JFK with her as my passenger, and I was cheating the hell out of her all the way, right? And so anyway, that's how I became a member of the group. So I was there the first time we did it from the beginning, but I didn't start off that way, no.
Wow.
But how about you turned your anger and you had to switch gears and...
I look, I'm a Buddhist, so I don't believe in necessarily in a personal God, but somebody really was in the works who stopped that because I was going to make a serious mistake.
Listen, Franken's got some ground game too.
Did you have go-to moves, Garrett? I mean, how, as a fighter, would you do the kind of, hey, let's be friends and then headbutt? Or would you work the body? Or what would be your kind of go-to moves?
I would have gone to the soul effectors first because that would have brought him down. Then I would have kicked him in the chin. Boom. He's going to get up mad as hell and do some kind of a hold and break my neck. Okay. Yeah. But
okay.
Shorter. Look, if you're short like I am and don't weigh much, you got to go for what you need.
Yeah, you got to get away. You hit fast and then you move, but be scrappy.
There was no way
ten to get one in.
There was no way I could have won that fight.
Yeah. No, I know the dude, and he's very tough when he gets in the ground game. I got mad at him too, but I didn't think of fighting him.
Decision. Hey, before we go on, can I just do the Richard Pryor joke? We can cut it out, but yeah, it really bugged me.
We need it.
I'm so sorry about the dentist, but here it is. I waited. I'll set it up real fast. When gave Richard Pryor a Denver omelet at the Holiday Inn, I got the plate up, and he said, "Whoever made that omelet can suck my dick." 12 years later, true story, in a movie, wanted to know what he meant by suck my dick. Was it positive or negative? I'm having lunch with him. I take a bite of the cheeseburger. I look at Richard and I say, "Well, whoever made this cheeseburger can suck my dick." And Richard said, "You must love that cheeseburger." That's how you do it. Boom.
Dana.
See, I'm making Garrett happy. That's what I love. I never knew I would say suck my dick on this podcast. Now I've said it 7 times. That's a mic drop.
Which
no more.
Reminds me, ladies and gentlemen, yeah, what do you yeah have mm-hmm if you have a patina with a penis?
Excuse me?
A patinas.
No. That's a,
yeah.
You have a dictator, stupid.
Oh my God.
Why do you have to add the stupid part?
Yeah, stupid.
Yeah, it's a pretty good joke.
No, because you didn't know what it was, stupid.
Stupid. I like the stupid at the end. It was hilarious. That could have been a gag character. So you were part of that original lexicon. I mean, who was your hangout friend of the cast? These are just basic SNL questions. So
who'd you gravitate to?
Was it Gilda or just everybody? Or did you have
Gilda, Jane, and Chevy? Mm-hmm. But I didn't do what I should have done, because I should have also, after the show, at the first couple of years, they would you go downtown to this bar, I think, Willie.
Oh, yeah, you have the party.
Willie, yeah. That's equal to that golf game that people talk about, where you form alliances, right? So I didn't do that. So I really had a lot of people not liking me, thinking I was stuck up and all that.
Well, yeah, why didn't you go? Now I want to know.
Because I, even to this day, am an introvert working against that, all right?
Okay.
I've really gotten over it to a large extent. But also I had, at that time, okay, do you want to really know the real truth?
Go ahead.
I had probably a couple of girls at home waiting with some cocaine so we could just do what we're going to do.
So it was either the girls and the cocaine or having Lauren tell his story about how we met. I think it may.
Well, listen, that's a tough one, Dana, because his story sounds great, like all that fun stuff. But then you look back and you realize you've got such huge, talented, cool people that you get to. Because I was going to say, Garrett, did you have an official after party? It sounds like you didn't. But we had, Dana was on, and then I was on with him for a while. And we had, they would walk around with a ticket, a secret, you know, during the show. Remember this, Dana?
That was a big
and they'd hand you it and you put it in your wardrobe or something. And you go, here's where the party is. Don't tell anyone. And it was during the live show. So you go, okay. And then after the show, you'd go straight there. But they didn't want everyone to find out about it. And so we'd have a designated spot every Saturday and we'd go there. Sort of the same thing. You just go there and get all fucked up with everybody.
But you see, I'm sure that the reason why that didn't happen to me is because at first I said I'm not going in the first place.
Right.
So when that started happening, people probably said, well, you know, fuck him. You know, he doesn't.
Well, you had some responsibilities to get back.
But I remember when I first got on SNL, Lauren was telling me about, you know, Chevy and Danny and everybody and Garrett. You said, Garrett, the only
way
to
do that again.
Chevy and Danny and, you know, and Eddie and all the people and Paul, you know, you could never get Garrett to the party unless you brought some cocaine and some hookers. Right. I go, really?
Right. I'm sure.
Right.
I'm sure they would have said that and they would have been correct.
It's good bait.
Well, the thing about it was coming in 86, you guys were badasses. Like, to me, that original cast, you guys were,
a
little power flower.
You're
going to blow your
power
nose.
Fly.
Yeah.
A little. Yeah, go ahead, Brom, sorry.
Gentleman joins us, been on Saturday Night Live from the original cast, young man named Garrett Morris. Can we come in?
But we thought of you guys as badass pirates. You would fight. There were drugs, you know, Chevy and Bill Murray would fight. And Belushi was like a badass. And then we got in and people were having like Amstel lights. We'd have a Bud Light at the party with me and Phil and just look around.
Yeah, we didn't
party as hard.
We felt
we didn't belong.
Well, can I say something about John?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
John, when he and I were both into the cocaine thing,
yeah,
never really talked to me unless he needed cocaine. Mm-hmm. And I get a knock on the door.
Hey, buddy.
Come in. And I put my, you know, tinfoil down there. And you know what he would do?
Do 10 of them.
By the time he got to, I had none left.
So he would just go in, get a straw in his nose, go down on the desk. You were about to snort the coke, and he would snort all of it?
Oh, my God. He would leave a little bit a little bit at the end.
Nice guy.
He's a brilliantly talented man, but boy.
I had mineral water, and Nora Dunn would come in and just chug it. I'm kidding. No, but what was it about? Like, I tried cocaine. I've talked about it. I just like you're saying you're fighting being introverted. Like when I did cocaine, within 30 seconds, I was very sad. I just
really
it made me very anxious and very paranoid. I only tried it twice, and one time I did some cocaine. Drove to the comedy club and I couldn't go in the club because I knew they all hated me in there. And then I just drove back home. So how did it, but I knew people that cocaine spoke to them, that eventually they had it in a little thing and they just sniff it all day.
Yeah.
So what did it do to you? I mean,
cocaine did the opposite to me. It livened me up.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Because you were an introvert, so it kind of opened you up a little
bit. Then you need more cocaine, right? You're losing the high. You got to get more, right?
That's the trouble.
That's the trouble, because the thing, that first high, you never get it again, David. You never get it again, David. Okay?
Yeah.
After that, you're striving to get that first high. So even if you're on for like 35 years, which I was.
35 years?
Yeah. It's different that you get never get that again. Then you start smoking it, right? And you get that
again.
But then smoking it, you're coming down. So you keep coming down. You never get that first high again, okay?
So
doesn't make you stop chasing it. I was there. I did it for a while.
Well, Lynn Byers is one. Do you remember Lynn Byers?
What a mess, yeah.
When that happened to him, I started thinking, Gary, you're way older than this guy. You're way older. And, you know, something's going, you know, you're lucky that didn't happen to you.
You know, Garrett, I was in it during Len Bias. Len Bias, for the listeners, is a basketball player that got recruited by the Celtics, I think.
Yeah.
And Celtics. I think he died after draft night or something from doing too much cocaine. Something, I think, before he played. And that was the first time I think I knew you could die from just doing straight cocaine. Like, I hadn't heard that.
Excuse me.
Oh, he dropped his joint. Uh-oh. His house is on fire.
No, he's actually.
Go ahead.
Oh. Is it okay to say that we think our friend Garrett Morris is enjoying some fine cannabis?
Sativa.
So that's like, what does that do? It evens your energy out or what?
One's mellow.
Sativa is a kind of marijuana that lets you stay awake.
Oh, it's upper. Okay.
Yeah, it's an upper. If you get a hybrid, it's in between. If you get indica, you're going to go to sleep. So a lot of times when I'm working, I'll either do it.
Is that weird?
Out folking or with this, you know.
Well, I worked with Scatman Carruthers once in Rockefeller Center. Yeah.
I envy you, okay?
I'm
Scatman.
Angel from heaven.
Oh,
sweetest guy.
Oh, wow.
And always was, he'd go in the bathroom and you'd hear him and he'd be smoking weed, you know. And so one night, it was the one anniversary. 1 year anniversary of John Lennon's death, and my brother was visiting the show. It was a sitcom with Mickey Rooney, another crazy man. And Scatman gave us a joint. He rolled it in front of us, and he had both ends were closed off. He did it without even looking, you know? And so then we tried it, and it was terrible. It was really weak. So the next break, I brought back some Colombian pot from Santa Cruz.
No, you didn't.
Purple hair.
I did. And the next day in the elevator, now, Scatman was from the 30s when it was illicit. In the elevator, people around, he says to me, quote, "The music was good. Might I get a pound?"
Of your weed?
So after the show was over, my brother and I got a huge bag of pot, grocery bag of pot, drove it down to Van Nuys, where Scatman lived, brought him the pot, played banjo, kept in touch with him, his guitar. Yeah, and ukulele. too, going strong.
And Minnie the Moocher.
We'd never met like a character like Scatman, you know? You see that man there? He said, he points to the janitor. He goes, that man's an artist. That man is an artist. You know, he was just taking us all these different places.
I like that.
But what a
he
did.
He was in Blues Brothers, Dana, and that's the only reason I knew who he was, because I was young and I saw, I think he was in Blues Brothers. He sang Minnie the Moocher. Is that what I'm thinking? Did you see Blues
Brothers?
I know
Aretha was in it, right?
Yeah, Aretha was in it. Yeah.
He was in The Shining.
Oh, I don't know. Oh, yeah. Oh, that was him
too? Jack Nicholson.
You know what? I've never seen that.
It's scary.
I love my man, but I hate
scary movies.
Yeah, I hate scary movies.
Yeah, so do I, dude. I'm with you. I can't.
Well, you said that Jack brought in a suitcase of pot into London.
Yeah, by pot, you mean cocaine?
No, this was cannabis. And he goes, and they go, and Jack goes, I'm not going to sell it. It's just for my personal use. And they let him through.
Really?
Yeah.
Because he's a monster. Shoot. I have another thing. Did you have any favorite sketches back then, Garrett, when you were there that first year?
The Colossal President.
What was that?
The Colossal President.
Yeah, there was this thing at the 12 Mile Island or something like that,
mm-hmm.
where the nuclear thing.
Oh, 4 Mile Island?
3 Mile.
Yeah. 3 Mile.
I knew it was a phrase. And this, 5K, yeah.
Everybody's big. And I'm the wife of the president, and he's big and I'm big, you know. Another one that was my favorite, not for any other reason, but I really think about it as a way in which somebody didn't get the message. It was with O.J. Simpson.
Oh.
Where he was a mandingo who goes around raping all the black slaves, or female slaves. And at the end, we're supposed to kiss. I don't want to kiss him, David. Dana.
In the sketch?
Simon is to kiss. You know, I like this to kiss him, and he backs away. As if I really wanted to.
Yeah, you were just acting, right? You had to do it.
Oh, man.
Another one is something that Aldis Swivel did. Baseball been
very, very good to me.
Chico, baseball been very, very good for me. Yeah. Yeah.
Actually, Chico Esquilla is really Brian Dole Murray's original concept, which
he's funny.
His brother came up with. Then Alan enlarged on it, right? So we would do a piece like that all the time. And also, I can't throw out something that Chevy came up with for me, which is Hard of Hearing.
Yeah, which became kind of a... Yeah.
A runner.
Everyone
that's
knows
a great
that.
Runner, are you sure?
Yeah.
And Zwei Bell's a big writer there. Yeah, he was good, right?
You I love him. I love Zwei Bell.
Yeah, he's great. Are you catching the big game or making big mods, going on that first date or installing that first break kit, binging that new show or watching install videos? When you're a real car lover, the choice is obvious. eBay Motors has you covered with over 122 million parts to fit your number one ride or die.
Brake kits, turbochargers, LED headlights, exhaust kits, bumpers, roof racks, and engines. Whether you're into the speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has all the parts you need for the ride you love. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash.
And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Now, your ideas don't have to wait. Now, they have everything they need to come to life. Dell Technologies and Intel are creating technology that loves ideas.
Loves expanding your business, evolving your passions. We push what technology can do, so great ideas can happen right now. Find out how to bring your ideas to life at dell.com/welcometonow. But Garrett, now, when you did, in the beginning, first of all, now that one, I don't know when Pryor hosted or what year it was when they did that sketch with Chevy. I think it must have been the first year. Wasn't Chevy only 1 year?
Yep.
Chevy came in after a year and a half.
Oh, no, I thought that was Billy.
I'm sorry. No, Chevy was in after, you're right. He was in like a year, right. And then Bill Murray came in, right.
Right. And Chevy Chevy blew up. What was that like when one cast member was like, wasn't he on the cover of Time or something? I mean, it just went pew.
Was he on the cover of Time? I didn't know.
Or Newsweek. I mean, I know that Chevy just got so much.
I said, right on. He did with Fletch. That was the name of Fletch.
Yeah, he did a lot of movies. Yeah.
I thought, however, he waited. He should have waited a little longer.
Of course. I agree.
Just like
he
that
wishes
guy.
He'd never left. He wishes he'd stayed at least 5 years.
Right. Just like the guy who was on that cop show who later on did CSI.
David Caruso?
Yeah, he left too soon.
You know, that happens, right. And I sort of get it, but Chevy was a tall, great-looking guy, and it was really good in comedy, and then he was a movie star. Like, I don't even know what that would be like, but to leave when you know it's the best show, it's the coolest show, like, you guys, I know Chevy blew up, but all you guys were huge, the Beatles. I mean, everyone on that
like
show.
The Rebel, I mean, there just was nothing like it. I mean, I was in college, and when it came on, and I saw all you guys.
You're
making
me feel old, fellas, okay?
When I was
feel
one,
old all the time.
You, how old were you?
I was being born in the hospital, and it was on TV, and I was like,
oh,
this looks pretty
God.
Funny.
Oh, my God. No,
I'm born in 1988, but I...
when I got into Saturday Night Live, I had been in New York about 17 years, right?
And you were 38.
When I was asked to join Saturday Night Live, all those other, excuse me, motherfuckers had just got out of high school and college. Yeah. I was about 10 years away from AARP. Okay.
Right. You did not look older than anyone. You didn't stand out as like
Phil Hartman, I think, was 38.
I'm 39 years old.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Now, Garrett, this, Dana, I just want to ask him that, which everyone might know this, but Chevy does, there's some sketches people remember, you know, and one of them is Chevy interviewing Richard Pryor when he was there for a job.
Oh,
who wrote that?
Huh?
Who wrote that one?
I think Chevy and Richard together.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, that.
Yeah.
That's like, I mean, when you look back on what you guys did comedically.
That's a classic.
And then what we call it now, since what we can get away with now, you know, it's just very different. At the time, even at the time, it was incendiary, but now it would be like go to a test pattern.
Right.
It would just get canceled.
I mean, Lauren did at the right time, because in about 10 years, we got into what we're into now, right?
Which is a softening.
Yeah. With all due respect to the brilliant cast that Saturday Night Live had always had, you can't really write for them the way they wrote for us then. I mean, you know, and I hate that. I hate
It changed.
It's a Rubik's Cube. You got to really, have to cleverly get clever stuff in, because you can't, it's almost like you're pulling from the same 8 jokes that everyone's allowed to use now.
Right.
And that won't make people mad. But you guys, I think, I think you're on for 5 years, that at least the standards and practices didn't even know what to say no to. They were like, this is so ridiculous. Like, they had to learn and go, well, wait, we don't like that. We're getting a lot of complaints about that. We have to stop that. But it was like playing whack-a-mole, because every week you think of a new way to offend people. And that was the greatest part of it.
Well, no one cared initially. And then the show became a smash. At what point? I mean, 2 years in, you guys just blew up. But initially, they didn't. No one's watching.
We had a lot of people who we thought were progressive. Okay. In my opinion, the true progressive.
Yeah.
Without any sign of racism whatsoever. But I.
He's like me.
I thought, for instance, that Michael O'Donohue, because of his past, would be the same way. Michael O'Donohue, with all due respect, was an absolute racist motherfucker.
You got to add motherfucker to that, because it just completes the thought.
The very first show, there was a skit that was going to have a black doctor, right? Mm-hmm. Not a black doctor. And I wasn't in it at all. So I said, hey, Michael, why don't we have the doctor be black? You know what he tells me? Well, Garrett, the audience might be thrown by a black doctor. Now, this is 1975, right? And I'm from New Orleans, where from the time I was 12 years old, I was surrounded not only by hordes of black medical doctors, but black PhDs as well. And I'm wondering how a guy whose name is associated with National Lampoon doesn't fucking know this.
did he not see Guess Who's Coming to Dinner with Sidney Poitier, which I saw in the theater at age 8, and it infected me the rest of my life, and I got to do a lot of benefits with Sidney Poitier, and he's another real gentleman. Sorry, I'm still a little high. I'm slurring. But,
well, that's tough, because, you're light in the show. You say, hey, can I get thrown into a sketch? And he said, no, this one's not right for you. And it's like, oh, boy.
You can't be a black doctor. What are you talking about, We're talking about Sidney Poitier. I remember being almost, you walk by, a person just walked by, and you, I'm on 72nd Street, and he's coming towards me, and for like a half a block away, I say, that's fucking Sidney Poitier. Right.
Ooh.
I just passed him like that. To this day, I remember that day.
He was so eloquent. I remember I did a bunch of benefits for Cedar Sinai, and he was always there. And then one time I got off stage, and I was walking to the audience. He stopped me, and I was able to do my And he gave me some praise, and I did my. I said, "They call me Mr. Tibbs from the," and he laughed so hard. It was Rod Steiger, I think, but. Yeah, for me, there were so many brilliant movies in the 60s and 70s, and just a lot of my heroes were black. I mean, just Jimi Hendrix, my brother came in 1966, he came home, he was 13, he said, I just saw the best guitar player in the world. I said, what's his name? He goes, Jimi Hendrix. But we were kind of progressive in our own way back then, because we just wanted to see Jimi. We didn't think, and I went to the first integrated, a very, very well integrated high school with busing. 1969, so.
Talking about Jimi Hendrix, you know what he did? When he came back from England, where he'd already become famous, he got on the corner of 125th Street and 7th Avenue and played the guitar for like 18 hours or so, just to introduce people to him. He was really something else, he was.
No, like Neil Young has said about him, no one's ever played the guitar like Jimi Hendrix. No,
did he die before SNL, or he's somebody they would have on?
He was one of those caught up in with,
he died. He was like 27, young. Right? 27?
27, yeah.
27 club.
Janis Joplin, around the same age.
Too? Man.
Kurt Cobain.
I hated when that happened to Janis. I loved her ass, man. I mean, you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Well, again, there's just certain talents, like Janice's singing, and there's a word I use a lot, supernatural. I mean, that screaming, the intensity of it was just crazy.
With all due respect, especially coming out of a white woman, okay?
Sure.
She
had such a talent, and then it almost like they burn out quickly because it's so much talent, and so that voice is so cool and everything, and you hope it's around forever. But
It's also just the accidental playing with fire. Jim Morrison, once you start playing with opioids and mixing that stuff in, John Belushi, it wasn't intentional, but you're playing with fire. It's just,
Matter of fact, that's another thing that started me to straighten up.
John's death.
Was John during when you were on SNL? When was it? I can't remember. He was 33.
Well, like 83, so. I think, right? It was after SNL when he died.
Yeah,
right?
And the thing is, John and I didn't really hang. Mm-hmm. Only when he needed cocaine did he.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Sure.
Yes. So how did that affect you? Did that get you off cocaine, or you just started to slow down, or what happened?
I slowed down, and by the time I came here, I was, it's not something you could just stop. But by 2005, I went to AA, Alcoholics Anonymous.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they do something that exasperates you. They will call your ass, okay? And they will sponsor you over and over. And so through that, I really, I've succeeded in getting rid of it, okay? Yeah. Much different with cigarettes, which I still am struggling with, but I'm glad that it's 2005. It's been nice. 2022.
Yeah, here we
are. Off since that's what, 17 years, 16.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, the body has a remarkable healing apparatus once you give it a break. So did you have a lot of people who lived a long time in your family tree?
Matter of fact, my grandfather lived to 92.
Okay.
So
you got some longevity.
My grandmother got. I'm sure got cancer when she was in her 50s. So she passed. My mother lived to 80, but she didn't take care of herself. Okay. So there's a couple, you know, either I'm going to hook up my grandfather and, you know, stay for a minute.
How do you deal with stress? Are you really Buddhist? Are you really Zen? Are you relaxed in your brain all the time, Garrett?
With all the respect, I know you guys hear Buddhism and you think Zen. Zen, right. Not, but it's only one part of Buddhism. There are 300, right. Over 300,000 Buddhists worldwide, and two of them are like me. They chant, which is not the same thing as the Zen Buddhists, okay?
Right, so you chant.
They meditate. Okay?
Domne arigato, domne arigato, domne arigato, domne arigato.
No, it's namyo herengi.
Arigato.
Oh, shit, I fucked it up.
Kyo,
which let me hear it.
Namyo herengi kyo, namyo herengi kyo, which means that you're dedicated to the mystic law of cause and effect, which means you don't believe in a personal God, but you do regard the law as being in the place that most other religions place God. It is the most sacred.
Right. Well, I did transcendental meditation, and my mantra is Dham Na Lala
Bhikkhu. I'm a TM practitioner too.
Yeah, my mantra, Dominali, which I found out later was Native American for drop your shorts, we don't have much time.
Are you telling people your mantra?
No, I was kidding. I'm just joking. I would never tell you my mantra.
I like, yeah, don't tell them.
My mantra is Garrett.
Garrett, listen. Garrett, after SNL, first of all, there's too many cool people there. You had Danny Aykroyd, who I did two movies with, three actually. Great guy.
Beautiful guy, yes.
He was beautiful, dude. I seem like, did you hang with anyone after the following years of SNL? You stay in touch or just see him when you see him kind of thing?
So I saw him when I saw him. When Jane was out here doing Two Rock, we used to talk on the phone.
Oh, that's right. Jane was on Second Rock from the Sun, Third Rock from the Sun, right?
And now I had a big quality relationship with Lorraine.
Because yeah.
Lorraine,
her
yeah.
daughter, Hannah, who is very, very talented. Yes. Did yes. you see her in Hacks?
Oh, Hacks. Yeah.
She is a dynamite actor and yes. also a very fine comedian. She did my show last year. Had a good, yeah.
Garrett, who was your head writer when you started? Was it Ann Beats?
Ann Beats was, yes.
She yeah. was. Mm-hmm. See, they had a girl head writer back then, which is probably
right. That was unusual.
More rare than a black doctor.
And that other guy we talked, we mentioned that was the assistant head writer.
I know who you're talking about.
And look, I was very sorry about what happened to him because I think that I'm not going to call their names. They should have backed him up when that thing happened. They should have backed him up and not let him go the way he did.
It was a lot of politics.
I know what you're talking about.
A lot of politics.
What he did was not what he didn't have to leave because of that.
So yeah, I tend to agree.
It was a purge that had to happen, but it some people got swept up into it that in a more reasonable time would have.
He's not been treated like that at all.
Yeah, I agree. Jeez, I wonder if I'm canceled right now. Do you think we could be canceled? You're canceled from
because
this podcast?
You agreed.
We said, suck my dick. I said, Sidney Poitier, black man.
First of all, he says, with all due respect to us. And then he says, with all due respect, motherfucker, to other people. So it really did. Lost
a little
bit. I got
called a white motherfucker from Karen Morris. So I'm just happy the rest of the day. Like, my day is a home run now because it was with love.
Do you have any kids?
I've got two sons and they're in show business.
The mother every day.
Oh, Jesus.
So you are a motherfucker.
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, he got you on a technicality, Dana.
Motherfucker is just a great word because of the rhythm of it. Motherfucker.
Hello.
You know, it's a great word. I mean, gosh darn it. That's not, doesn't get
in my community, gentlemen.
You say it better.
He's a bad motherfucker, meaning you, Dana, meaning a great guy.
Yeah.
I like that.
I say of like, Rachel Maddow, I say she's a bad bitch. Right.
Rather than a motherfucker.
Right. Yeah. She's a bad bitch. Although I don't look at the news anymore because it depresses me.
No. It's designed to get us all angry.
When I was looking with Rachel all the time, and what's the other lady? Joy Reid. You know.
Joy Reid. Yeah.
Yeah. You know. Ari Melber. You know.
Yeah.
Brian. So.
Brian Williams.
Was my thing. Until the news just started bringing me down.
Oh, this is DraftKings.
stockholder. Just a disclosure. I own DraftKings shares.
You don't own all of it, do you?
I took a taste.
I did a party for this guy at Gillette Stadium for his wife's birthday. Mm. And I did my crummy stand-up act. In full disclosure. I play DraftKings when I do fantasy football. So I do have it. Rewind it back to the days of chillaxing on the beach and all day fun with spring break on DraftKings Casino. Play exclusive games like fan fave Rocket. The excitement is endless, the vibes are right, and the cash prizes
could be
huge.
Could be huge.
You like money? I don't know. Dan, do you like money?
Oh, I don't know. I could take it or leave it, but I like DraftKings, I'll tell you that much.
Some people don't like money. If you don't like money, don't play. New players, start playing with just $5 and get 100 back instantly in casino credits. Download the app and use code FOTW to book your one-way ticket to fun with DraftKings Casino. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Listen up, Dana. Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.1800gambler.net. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. 21 plus.
Physically present in Connecticut, Michigan, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, West Virginia only. Void in Ontario. Eligibility and other restrictions apply. One per opted-in new customer. $5 wage required max. $100 in casino credits awarded, which require one-time playthrough within 168 hours. See terms at casino.com, DraftKings.com/promos. Restrictions apply. Looking to save on delivery? DashPash from DoorDash is your door to $0 delivery fees and savings you can't get anywhere else. DashPass is an exclusive membership with DoorDash that gets you unlimited $0 delivery fees on eligible orders and members-only deals and discounts. Whether it's food from your favorite restaurants, grocery from across town, or anything in between, DashPass is the most affordable way to get everything you need delivered right to your door. With $0 delivery fees and lower service fees on eligible orders, DashPass makes it easy to save at restaurants, grocery stores, and all your local favorites on DoorDash. DashPass pays for itself in 2 orders on average. Plus, DashPass gives you special access to exclusive promotions and menu items, all for $9.99 a month. Get more from delivery for less with DashPass. $0 delivery fees and reduced service fees on eligible DoorDash orders. Sign up for DashPass today and get your first 30 days free if you're a new member. Subject to change. Terms apply.
Garrett, before we let you go,
Bust me out.
Do you still sing? Dana said you're a good singer.
I used to sing high C's. Now I sing low C's. I sing the blues now. I don't sing,
You doing any Albert King or who are you singing?
Muddy Waters or something like
Muddy Waters?
Yeah. My favorite blues singer is Muddy Waters.
Oh, I loved Albert King Blues
Albert
Power.
Albert King was great.
That baby and its baby head, a baby bed all fussing up. He's got the blues. He got the good old-fashioned country blues. Remember Albert? Wasn't he magic? And, of course, Muddy Waters. I mean, you know, another guy. Lay it on us. Don't be shy. Sang with Harry Belafonte singers.
I was with him for like 9 years as my first job. In the business, was as a singer arranger with
amazing.
The Belafonte Singers.
The Belafonte Singers.
Yeah, as a 12-member group that he managed, right? He sang them periodically, but they used to sing without him. So we two.
Who sang that thing? You put the lime in the coconut, you put a little. That was Harry? Okay.
That was Harry Belafonte?
Yeah.
And then it became a commercial, too, for some product.
Daylight, come on, we want to go home.
What about 7-Up is the
Uncola?
You do have
that raspy blues now. You can get laid with that.
Hey, 85, that's all.
All day.
85, still alive. 86,
you got cool voice.
87, you're in heaven. 88, don't be late. 89, won't you be mine? 90,
Jesus.
Holy heaven, honey.
You can see it.
Was this your SNL audition? That was a good one.
Baby, you can spit.
I know. I've had dinner with him. Well, Garrett, thank you for coming on with us.
This has been a delight. You're so much fun. Garrett, I just feel happier hanging out with you for this hour.
Thank you so much, fellas, for even thinking about this old guy.
Yeah, you're a good dude, and it's, you know, we all got a job because of you and the squad up there.
Oh, my God. Oh my
and Lauren and everyone.
And then I just want to say, 100 episodes on Jamie Foxx. You were on The Martin Show.
You're very talented men, okay?
Thank you, bud.
Extremely talented, and that's how you got your fucking job.
We do the best we can. You're terrific. You're tremendous. Excuse me. Many people are who's better than Garrett Morris? Nobody, listen, many people are saying, never better. Nobody's ever done it like him. Come on, let's get real, folks. No joke. I'm not kidding around. Garrett Morris, here's the deal. Come on. We can do better. We will do better.
You got Trump and Biden at the end.
I love your impression, man. I love your impression, man.
Thank you, brother. Can we hang out sometime? Can you get my
You got my number.
All right, Garrett. Miss you, bud.
No, let me thank you guys for this. I appreciate it.
I just really enjoyed this. I know I'm a little fuzzy and my words aren't coming out as well as they normally do, but because of the dental work. But I got the prior joke out. I completed it, and that made my day.
It was a three-parter.
Yeah. Okay. Now I'm gonna pack myself an ice, get a B12 shot, and crack a Coors Light.
We don't want to end the show with the words "suck my dick." Okay.
No. What would be the substitution?
So instead of saying "suck my dick,"
yes,
you kind of say, "How about a hand job, dear?" I guess that's a little more benign, maybe not so dramatic.
I got one. Good night, motherfuckers.
Hey,
what's up, flies? What's up, fleas? What's up, people that listen? We want to hear from you and your dumb questions.
Questions, ask us anything. Anything you want.
You can email us at flyonthewall@cadence13.com. Folks, we got another AMA to cap it off. This is a Ask Us Anything. Question is, do you have a favorite SNL monologue? One of my all-time favorites is the one where Susan Lucci and the Emmys from 1990. Hey, everyone, Emmy fight. Neilan wearing an Emmy around his neck, Spade using Emmy to eat corn on the cob.
That was funny.
Priceless. Thank you for the pod. Mm-hmm. Okay, well, Dana, do you remember this one? Because I was just a newbie on that
one. I know. I wasn't in that one. I don't know what's going on. That was funny, though.
How is Dana not in something?
I was probably changing into Do Bush Senior. I had the bald caps going and all that.
You need that 12-minute chunk.
Yeah, I would just put the bald cap on early and just drop all the wigs on top. Anyway, one that stood out for me during my time, I don't know if you were there for it, was when Steve Martin.
I was going to say fucking Steve Martin.
Steve Martin sings a song, and it becomes a Broadway musical. Oh, yeah. We run and dance the cast, all with Steve. The whole premise, he's done it so much at this point, hosting.
He's not going to phone it in.
I'm not going to phone it in tonight. I'm not going to. And that one really stood out for me.
One of the biggest laughs is, he runs around. He goes, "Come on, guys." And he picks up cast members along the way.
And he goes, he's like the Pied Piper.
"Sing it, Chris." And Farley goes, "I'm not going to get super drunk tonight. I won't have a drink till update is through. That's a promise to you, the viewer." Update's through. And he goes, Pretty good, Chris. Good. But he let everyone sing. And I just thought of that same time as you.
It was Robert Smigel's, but probably a lot of people joined in on it. But that stood out.
Comedians have great ones. As we mentioned, Kim Kardashian had a great one when she was on. Not a comedian, but that's sometimes fun when people come out of nowhere and knock one out. Low expectations, and then she delivered. And so there's, over the years, God, I can't pick one. I remember Emmy Fight was funny. Yeah. That was, Susan Lucci was, that was a great one.
Yeah.
And we've been a lot, I like when they bring the cast into a monologue. Sometimes that's a trick, though. If they don't really know what to do, they stack them, or if they're too nervous, they want cast.
Yeah, and there's a lot of Q&A from the audience. That's a great device.
Oh, what about Britney Spears and her boobs are moving around? You remember that one?
I don't think I saw it.
A lot of people think I have fake boobs, but the truth is, and they start going like this in her shirt, they had like some sort of trick. That got a big laugh. Mm-hmm. Oh, the days, my friend. So thank you for that question, but there's just too many to pick from, I think.
Yeah.
But we mentioned
some picked
good ones.
A good one, though, Susan Lucci. We came back with Steve Martin. Whoops.
When Steve's on, we got to ask him.
Sounds like ours was better.
All right. Thank you. Bye. Bye-bye. Bye. Thank you, David Rivera.
Thanks,
asked
Dave.
That question.
Ed.
And now I hate to say it, but bye-bye.
This has been a podcast presentation of Cadence 13. Please listen, then rate, review, and follow all episodes. Available now for free wherever you get your podcast.
No joke, folks.
Fly on the Wall has been a presentation of Cadence 13, executive produced by Dana Carvey and David Spade, Chris Corcoran of Cadence 13, and Charlie Finan of Brillstein Entertainment.
The show's lead producer is Greg Holtzman, with production and engineering support from Serena Regan and Chris Basil of Cadence 13.